But as what we were looking through in the book of Colossians, we had some issues with the church in that land. And remember that Colossae had issues like every town and city does and every church does. And they had an issue with doctrine. And we went through that last week, and we're going to touch on one or two issues again this week as we proceed through the book of Colossians. And so last week we looked at thanksgiving and prayers. We have a lot to be thankful. Give thanks for all things, for this is Christ's will for you. Say, you know, I know a lot of you are going through some really tough trials. But remember, those trials should help us to draw closer to God, to strengthen us. They're not there to hurt you. Please remember that. Say, Pastor, you have no idea what I'm going through. No, I don't. And I wouldn't want it on anybody. And I mean that sincerely, because you're hurt right now. You're really hurt. But God has compassion. He's passionate. He loves you. He cares about you. He knows everything about you. And, you know, at the end of the day, you want to glorify him. Just say, Lord, I did the best I could. And that's all he wants you to do. Just give it your best. He's not expecting you to be Superwoman or Superman today. He just wants you to give your best. And he'll take care of you. Just like as it was said with someone who says their prayers, Lord, I have these requests. Now I'm going to rest. Again, Lord, I have these requests. I'm going to rest. Instead of saying, Lord, I'm just going to name it and claim it. That's okay. Be careful. God wants you to rest in him. So don't let this life make you go round and around like that song goes. You know, I want to celebrate another day of living. I want to be thankful for another day of life. But don't let this world spin you around and around and around. Get off that and rest in Jesus Christ. So picking up here, we were going to continue in verse 9 yesterday, and last week. And actually, when I used to do evening services, if I didn't finish the sermon in the morning, I'd just continue it in the evening, you know, and go from there. But I thought, since we don't do evening services until we get more people and some, you know, people are interested in evening services, I can always do those. And by the way, if you want to do an independent Bible study with me, I'd be more than happy to. I'm here to serve. I'm your servant. Okay? So, verse 9, continue on. Paul says, you know, we looked at last week, thanksgiving and prayers. And by the way, talking about prayer, we need to pray about in Syria, the Al-Qaeda linked regime has been lately in the news just the other day. It said that they've been slaughtering a lot of minorities. It's amazing how the less fortunate get picked on, or they're not as bright, or they're not as this or that. The Awati minority for the past 2 days, and a lot of them are grouped as Christians. The 340 of them have been killed. Of course, you don't hear that in the news that much. But there are our brothers and sisters that are suffering. And Syria's new interim president was accused of this. Of course, he's Muslim. If anybody knows the Quran, which I've studied, and we're the infidels, we are the ones that need to repent and convert, or we should die by the sword. So it's as simple as that. It's in the Quran. No matter how you, pardon my expression, cut the Quran up, that's what they teach. Continuing on here, Paul says, for this reason, verse 9, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And so he goes on to say here that to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So two things right there, right away. We need to have the knowledge, the word of God, the wisdom of his will, and wisdom to guide us. Like I said last week, you know, a baby learns to crawl at first, and then he stands up, and then he's shaking all over the place, you know, and then he falls and he sits back down. Well, he gets back up, crawls a little bit more, turns to the side, stands back up, and his legs are wobbling, and he takes his little steps, and he reaches his arms out. And God wants us to do that today. Take this life one step at a time. And, you know, it seems like one day is different than the other. God wants us to take baby steps with him. We had little Christopher here last week. Little Christopher, Christopher Streeter from the Streeters last week, he came running up here. And he goes running back, you know. And I said to one of the ladies, I said, oh, he was such a sweetheart. We're going to spend about an hour with the Streeters. We ended up spending 5 hours. You know how it is. And I said to one of the ladies at Bible study, I said, you know what? I said, you know, I love you. Christopher always has a smile on his face. Such a sweet little boy. And I said, I'd love to take him home for a couple of hours. And one of the ladies go, well, you can have him for a couple of hours. That's fine. And I said, yeah, little doses is good, you know. And so pray for them. And so we need to be filled with the knowledge of his will and wisdom and spiritual understanding so that you may walk worthily of the Lord, fully pleasing him. So the bottom line is that we want to glorify God every day. Yeah, we don't get things right. We don't live in a perfect world. We may have our hiccups. We may have our bumps in the road. But God gets us through it with the blood. And we can always go back to the blood and be thankful for that. For being fruitful in every good work. So we want the Holy Spirit. Paul is praying for this church. Be fruitful. You know, what kind of fruit have we borne, you know, through the Holy Spirit? And there are many of them. All we have to do is look in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. We don't have the time to go through the whole all the fruits of the Spirit, but they're there. Are we manifesting them, our fruit, okay? And increasing in the knowledge of God, sticking to the Word, understanding the mind of Christ, strengthening with all might, remember through His Spirit, not by power, not by thy might, like it says in Zechariah, but by my Spirit. Remember, it's the Spirit. I remember there was this one TV show that was put out. It wasn't a show, it was a movie with Harrison Ford, and they had one scene in there with Indiana Jones, it was called, and he was, you know, they had this one guy come out there with all these swords, and you might have watched that, I don't know. He was taking these swords and trying to be such a bad guy and take on Indiana Jones. And I remember what Indiana did. He took out his gun and went, boom, and the guy was gone. And, of course, the whole idea, he was trying to rescue his lady, his girlfriend. And God's word is like a gun. It goes off, and Satan flees. Call on the Lord, resist the devil, and he must flee. Remember, Michael said the archangel to Satan who wanted Moses' body, Lord, rebuke you. You know, it's not that you get with these circus clowns today, get up with these healing services and say, in the name of Jesus, you know. No, it's not that. It's God's battle. So let me encourage you today. A lot of us have said to one another, you know, a lot of the sickness, a lot of problems have been going around. This is a spiritual battle. Sometimes people want to be here at church and they can't. People online, they want to be at church. Yeah, I understand. There is the physical problems, but there's also the spiritual problems. And I really believe that there's a warfare going on. And God has his angels protecting us. And there is a host of dominions out there that they have a design. They have a plan wanting to get you. So don't ever forget that. You know, if you heard that saying, it gets real quiet before the war hits. You know, that peace and time, that should be a time when you're quiet with the Lord and you're saying, Lord, I'm getting ready because I know things are going too well today, right? Things are going too good. So I need to armor up, put on that armor, you know, for the days are evil. Stand. That means to be faithful regardless. Be faithful. strengthened with all might according to the glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks. So we should be giving thanks regardless of what is going on. And, you know, we have a lot to be thankful for here today. There's just so much we could say about that, but there's not time to say this because there are other things I think the Lord has laid on my heart to say here. To the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. So we are inheritors, you know. I don't know if anybody here ever inherited anything from their parents or from their grandparents or whatever, but we have a spiritual inheritance. I love this. It says here in 1 Corinthians 15, 50-54, it says, "Now this I say, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump." It's talking about the rapture coming. "For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall we be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." In other words, one day a trump will sound, our names will be called, we'll be risen in a faster than a blink of an eye, and we'll be in the presence of the Lord, caught up in the air. "And those who are dead in Christ will rise first, and those that remain shall be caught up with him in the air." Amen? Isn't that wonderful? And I know that there is a spiritual applause to the glory of God for that. So many of us are suffering today. So I want to encourage everybody. So moving on here. So we are also inheritance of the saints of light. And he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Just remember this. There's nothing that we can overcome from the power of darkness unless we allow it to. I'll say that again. There's nothing that we can overcome except we allow it to happen. When we're weak, when we're tired, and God can, remember, lead us to an escape, okay? God has always given us, when we are tempted, to give us the strength that we need here. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." And I think it's wonderful to know that he has given us the redemption of those sins. I like that one song that says, "Jesus paid it all for nothing good I have, whereby thy grace to claim, I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow." In other words, Jesus paid our debt when he has done that. Something to give our thanksgiving and prayers about, and also seeing the person and work of Jesus Christ. He has done that for us. A pause here, just for a moment. There is a story here about how much Jesus loves us. I want to just take a moment just to listen to this. A gem dealer was strolling the aisles at a Tucson, Arizona gem and mineral show. And by the way, if you ever have a chance to do that, if you're into that, when he noticed a blue violet stone the size of the shape of a potato. Think of that. That's a pretty big gem. He looked it over, and then he calmly as possible, he asked the vendor, "You want $15 for this?" The seller, realizing the rock wasn't as pretty as others in the bin, lowered the price to $10. The stone has since been certified as a 1,905 carat natural star sapphire, about 800 carats larger than the largest stone of its kind. It was appraised at $2.28 million. The point is that it took the lover of stones to recognize the sapphire's worth. It took the lover of souls to recognize the true value of an ordinary-looking people like us. Jesus paid it all. Think about it. He looked at us when, I think, doctors tell us that the human body is not worth that much if you break down all the parts of it. It eventually goes back to dust, right? I mean, we're going to try to, you know, if we were to die, donate our organs, you know, to somebody who needs it. But at the same time, Jesus looked at us like we were priceless. And so he went to the cross to die, to pay for us, that even though we are sinners, he still loves us and he still wants us. Isn't that amazing? It's still amazing. Sometimes I still can't grasp at that. It doesn't make any sense to me. But that's the kind of love. That's how precious we are in his sight. So remember, God loves you. He loves you. Don't ever forget that. He cares about you. So there is that redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sin. And so as we see here that we're going to be looking at the preeminence of Christ. Paul goes from this to exonerating the Colossae believers in Colossians to saying, look, I want you to look at the preeminence of Christ. And this has the idea of not when we're looking at being the firstborn, as he's looked at here in verse 15, but has the idea here of a first in rank. Some people look at him as, you know, being firstborn. They think, well, what is he, the oldest child, or was this for another reason to be the preeminence? But no, this has the idea of rank. So he is the image. It has the idea in Hebrews that he is the image of God. It says here in Hebrews chapter 1, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins. He has the idea of an image of taking your hand and putting that and putting some ink on your hand and putting it on a piece of paper. Has the idea of Jesus is that image, okay, of God, the invisible God. But he became flesh that he may die for us. He is the image. And by the way, I'm going to get to the point here where it says about the Gnostics. They were having issues with that, saying that the spirit is good and the flesh is evil. Well, they were also saying that they were denying the deity of Christ because they were saying, well, look, you know, from the time that Jesus was baptized to the time he went to the cross, he became, what, God. Okay? And, you know, how could that be? Well, I think that he was just a man when he was baptized, they say, and he died on the cross. Because, he, by the way, he's not deity. So they had some wrong ideas there. And then also some of them thought that he was an angel that came. So where do these people get these ideas? Well, it's not scriptural. It's not from the Word of God. And so Paul is writing this under the direction of the Holy Spirit to get things right. And we need to do that too. When sometimes, remember, Satan tries to misquote Scripture. He tries to send us for a loop. And so he was made in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Remember, that means in rank. And so it says here, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. And that ties in with our song here, Across the Lands, that we just sang. This deals with how he created all things in heaven and earth. It says here that we're both visible materially and invisible. Invisible has the idea of angels. You can't see angels. And he goes on to say here, whether it be thrones or dominions or principality or powers, those are the orders of ranks in the angelic realm. You don't have time to get into all that, but that has the idea. It's a military rank. It's a different, it's an order. God has his order of angels and the devil has his. And so there is a warfare effectively going on right now. And one goes on to think that, and he goes on to say here, all things were created through him and for him. It's amazing that statistically, the sheer size of the universe is staggering. The sun, for example, has a diameter of 864,000 square miles. That means 100 times that of the Earth, and could hold 1.3 million planets the size of Earth inside it. The star Betelgeuse, however, has a diameter of 100 million miles, which is larger than the Earth's orbits around the sun. That's within the universe. It says in Numbers that God says, my ways are higher than your ways. The emphasis in the original language is that God is outside, or God is outside the universe. He knows he created everything. The scientists say the universe is still expanding to this day. His ways are higher than our ways. In other words, it comes to a point where you can't go any further because it makes no sense. Life makes no sense. But what makes sense is that this God came in the form of flesh to die for our sins because he loves us so much. He is the preeminence of God. He ranks as first of all things. There's also in verse 17, and he is before all things and in all things consist. So he holds all things together. One man said that one day in the future, God will dissolve the strong nuclear force that Peter describes as the day as one when the heavens will pass away with a roar and the elements will be destroyed with an intense heat. The earth and its works will be burned up in 2 Peter 3:10. That means when God, before he creates new heavens and an earth, this is after the kingdom of age, everything will explode. It would be like a big thermonuclear explosion. That's why, you know, I'm not worried about people say, oh my goodness, there's going to be a great Holocaust going on here with thermonuclear bombs. No, I don't think that's going to happen because God's in control, one. And two, I think our leaders are too afraid to use it because of the chain reaction that will be going back and forth. Coulomb's law, his theory will take effect, and the nuclear atoms will fly apart. In other words, atoms are held together, and scientists don't know why, because they should just, break apart. You know, things are held together. It's through the power of Jesus Christ. Coulomb's law also says of electricity. He calls it electromagnesium. He says positive, negative charges attract and repel each other. In other words, if there you take those magnets, and you have one that is opposites attract, they come together, and then you have like charges, they repel. Well, Jesus is like that, holding everything together. They're the opposite of each other, so they attract, they come together. God keeps everything in the power of his word. Okay, so that's a very comforting thing. Our Lord never goes to sleep, and by the word of his power, he keeps everything together. I know some days I don't feel like I have anything together. You know, it seems like things are just drifting apart. I can't remember where this is at or that's at. But God, that's a blessing with his preeminence. Remember that. So it says all things are kept together. consists, and he is the head of the body, the church. You know, when I was in Europe, I'll never forget, and I'm sure everybody who's been to Europe or been overseas will remember, you have the state churches. They're very dead because they have state churches that pay taxes, and you have to go along with everything what the government says. And because of what happened with COVID, you have some people that are today, some churches, people who are in churches that have given in to that COVID. They wanted money because of COVID. Now they have to pay taxes. They're in it with the state. Thank God we have enough common sense here today. We have a good board of directors that said, no, we're not doing this. We have people here. No, we don't want anything from the government. It's for the people and by the people. And we need to keep ourselves separate from the state, from the church. Back in the day, it was the state trying to get into the church. People say, oh, we need to have everything separated. You don't want the state in your church. So the Lord is making it very, very plain here. And he is the head of the body of the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And then all things he may have preeminence. He means he's above all. In other words, if you had a chance to take the sky, go outside, just look out your window, and the sky was like a scroll, you could just roll it back, okay? You would see the Lord in heaven, okay? And that's where he's there right now, okay? He's there. I know he's there. You know he's there. We have the Holy Spirit making intercession with him, and angels are ascending and descending like Jacob's ladder, making requests unto the Lord. And it's a beautiful picture of heaven. We can't wait to get there, but it's right there. We don't have to look for it. Roll it back. There it is. There you are, Lord. I knew you were there the whole time. Let me roll it back, get back to life. Okay, good enough. Okay, so you have the Lord is preeminent in all things. And we need to keep him preeminent in our lives. Verse 19, as we look at the reconciliation of Christ, I think this is just beautiful. It says, for it pleased the Father that in him and all fullness should dwell, and by him to be reconciled all things to himself. It's amazing how he goes on to say here, by him, whether things of earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. In other words, there's that reconciliation. I never knew this, and I was doing my studies this past week, but remember George C. Wallace, the governor of Alabama in 1963? You remember the man that was shot, and it was in the wheelchair for a while? You probably don't remember that. Like, it was yesterday, right? It says he literally stood in the door of the University of Alabama preventing Vivian Malone Jones. Remember the lady who tried to get into the university? It was on the news and all. But if you don't remember, remember Forrest Gump? Remember that movie? The same lady who tries to get in, right? Okay, it must have been a horrible thing to go through. And you know, I've met people who went through that down south when I pastored down there. Preventing Vivian Malone Jones, a young African-American woman, from enrolling as a student. 33 years later, listen to this. 33 years later, Wallace awarded Jones, that same lady, the first Loreen B. Wallace Award of Courage. The award name in honor of Wallace's wife recognizes women who have made outstanding contributions to the state of Alabama. Amazing. The same man who said no to her apologize. Listen to this. Wallace publicly apologized to Jones for the 1963 controversy. Jones, in turn, forgave Wallace. Isn't that beautiful? Maybe you want to hear the rest of this just for a minute. It says Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on hand for the event said, this event really is a moment of reconciliation and redemption. Isn't that wonderful? When you can forgive and just move on together. You know, Lord, I got this bag of sins that I've got. It's like Pilgrim and Pilgrim's Progress. That needs to go, you know. Got any baggage? Get rid of it. You know, it's covered in the blood. It's okay. God has redeemed us. He has paid the he's also give us that redemption, but also he's given us reconciliation. It was a racial reconciliation. So take that, woke. Amen. You know, woke tries to divide people, right? We have reconciliation between the races. Amen. I know many dear beloved African Americans down south that they would welcome me right away because they know who I am. I know who they are. We don't care about the color. Yes, there's issues with culture and names and how they do things different, but we all have that one common bond, and I'm sure we all know people like that to this day. So we are reconciled unto Christ with his preeminence. So proclaiming Jesus to be, in a quick summary here, he is the king over his kingdom in these verses we've read. He is the savior of our sins. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. He is the creator of all things. He is the sustainer of all things. He is head of the body, the church. He is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead. He is the fullness of all things. He is the reconciler of the things of God. There's two people that probably know him. One was H.G. Wells, an atheist. He spoke in his book about Jesus, The Outline of History. Wells said, one is obligated to say, here is a man. This part of the tale could not have been invented. He believed that there was a man. We might know people today. We know that there was, they say, well, you know what? I know that there was a man, but to have him as Christ? Will Durant, he was a man. He was an atheist, ex-professor of philosophy of the history of Columbia University. He spent two chapters in the story of his civilization depicting Jesus as a historical figure right along with the Caesars. There are people that will tell you, yes, there was a Jesus that existed. But you know what? I don't believe he's the Christ. Isn't that frustrating sometimes? You witness the people and you break it down. You break it down. Then you come right there. Either you do or you don't. And they're like, I don't believe he's the Christ. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Pray for him. By the grace of God, we are that way too. Amen. We're that way too. So it's all about the preeminence of Christ and what he has done. And closing up here in verses 21 through 23, it says, and you who once were alienated, and enemies of your mind by the wicked works, yet now you're reconciled. Isn't that wonderful? If there's anybody listening to this verse, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can be reconciled with him today. Realize that you're a sinner. Realize that he died. He was made that sacrifice to you in love. And realize that you could come together and get reconciled and believe by faith that he loves you. And you can start your life all over. Yeah, sure, nothing changes from day to day. You don't change from day to day. You're still the same people. The seasons change, but life is still the same, right? But you can have that relationship, something different that you've never had before. A real loving relationship through forgiveness. Verse 22 says, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. What he's saying is that who cares about this false teaching, this false philosophy that's going on, these heretics, these teachers that teach the wrong thing. Jesus is not an angel. He is not some sort of spirit that came and that, you know, he was an off again, on again God. He says, don't believe that. Paul's saying to the Colossians, and we'll look at others in the weeks ahead, that, and we have that today going on with our different cults. They put Jesus is a different kind of Jesus. And some people think, well, Jesus, I know what you did, but you go into their sanctuary and you have a huge cross up there. Remember that? And you still had Jesus hanging on the cross. Why? Well, in one way you can look at it as remembrance of what he did, but he's off the cross now. He's no longer there. You know, I pick and choose my battles. Amen. And you want to go ahead and you're like, okay, I got it. You know, going to a church like this, I didn't know anything about the resurrection. That's what it's all about. We're going to celebrate it next month. It's going to be here before you know it. In many years, we have celebrated the resurrection. But God wants us to celebrate it every day. Paul's saying, look at this. Look at your love story. This is God's love letter to us. He loves us. And then he says, indeed, you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. You know, there was a story, and some people may think, oh, why are you mentioning Humpty Dumpty in service? Isn't that sacrilegious or something? No. There's a good point behind this, a good metaphor behind this. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And has the idea of Humpty Dumpty was like an egg. It fell off the wall. And there's more to the story than that, but I'm not going to get into it. But what this one author, Brent Philip Waters, said, regardless of how hard we tried, a broken egg can never be put back together again. We simply have to learn to live with the mess. We all have messes. We all try to be a cleanie. Dr. James Dobson says, you have two types of people, a cleanie and a messy. And we have some cleanies here, try to keep things clean. The others, we have messies. You know, and, well, anyway, we'll go down that there. There's the Humpty Dumpty story in the Bible. And we call it the fall. Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, kids. Remember that? Yeah. They weren't supposed to because they were a total lie. Remember, the devil's a liar. And he says, you could be like God. They ate of the forbidden fruit. What happened? They realized that they did wrong. So Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit. They claimed they possessed the necessary wisdom to be like God. When the dust settles, Adam and Eve are not perched in a lofty place. They have fallen. Regardless of how hard we try, things can never be put back together again. My point is only Jesus can put back the egg shell pieces together. I've seen some eggs today, you know, and I'm thinking I'm holding the bag and I hope I never drop the bag. And, you know, that's why you have egg cartons. You know, life is fragile. Our bodies are very precious. And that's why when somebody gets hurt, somebody gets sick, I feel hurt and sick because I'm like, Lord, please help them. They are so precious. Life is fragile. My stepmother told me years ago, life is fragile. Handle it in prayer. You know, it's very fragile. And God knows each one of us. And we go through trials and, you know, God gives us the grace to go through the trials. It doesn't mean that God's not going to allow us to go through trials. God does because he has a reason. And through the preeminence of Christ. And then we have, when we are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, going on to say, which you heard, which we was preached to every creature under heaven, which I, Paul, became a minister. So by the grace of God, Paul became a minister to minister. And I pray today, we'll continue to minister to one another. We need each other. People need the Lord. Remember that song, people need the Lord. He's like an open door, you know. He is the open door. And the part is that I'm going to close with this. There was an elderly lady, and I shared it with the people over there at Evan a few weeks ago. She was dying. She was on her bed. She was one of those godly examples. You know, you've ever met somebody who's a godly woman or a man in the faith that you never forget, and you always thought about them? There's a handful in my life, too. And she was laying there, and I went over to him. I said, her name is Barbara. Okay. I said, Barb, I said, how you doing today? She goes, I'm not doing too well, Pastor. I'm at the throne. And when people start to pass away, they start talking. And you're thinking, okay, I better be quiet and listen. And she goes, I'm at the throne. I'm holding on to the horns. And I shouldn't have said this, but I said anyway. I said, well, all right, okay. She goes, and I prayed, and I said, Barbara, I said, what are you holding on to? She goes, I'm holding on to the altar of God. I'm holding on to those horns. I'm holding. And I tell you what, boy, I tell you, that was an inspiration to me. She goes, I'm holding on. God, please help me. Oh, this. And then she went. And I was like, wow. And her daughter was there. Okay. And, you know, is she gone? Yeah. I think mom's gone. And, you know, it was such a beautiful experience because, you know, when God consists, he holds everything is held together. He holds us together. He knows when we're going to go home. Let me tell you something. You're missing loved ones right now. I'm going to end with this, with the preeminence of God. Some of you miss your loved ones. Okay. They're there and they're rooting you on. You're running a race and you have that cloud of witnesses. I know that's a metaphor. Okay. In Hebrews, but it has the idea there's a group of people. And I've done a lot of word studies with it. There's a group of people cheering you on. Keep up the good work. Keep running your race. Run and do God's pleasure, like Eric Little said, Chariots of God. I do this because I want to give him good pleasure. I'm going to run my race, my chariots of fire. You know, he's talking about angels. He's talking about his relationship. He ran his race, and it gave the Father good pleasure. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. You're preeminent. Thank you that you know all things. You hold up all things. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that there's people here that we love one another. We care about one another. We're there. We can share our burdens. Lord, but we know too, and in spite of giving our thanksgiving and prayers and looking at the person and work of Jesus Christ, what he's done for us, there is a love story. Lord, it needs to be shared. It needs to be told while we're still here robed in this flesh. Lord, just pray if there's somebody here, somebody online who doesn't know you as their Savior, that they would come to know you, and by the grace of God, sir, we give you thanks. We give you all the praise. I know Hope's going to go come up here graciously and sing, and Paul's going to close in prayer, but think about it this week, what you can do for Christ. What are you going to do? The choice is yours. Nobody's forcing you. We have a free will. Take that opportunity while the Holy Spirit is knocking at your door. Open up to them. Come to church. Love to have you. We're not here to convert you. We're here to love you as Christ has loved us. As simple as that. No added advertisements. Nothing. Just the good old-fashioned gospel of Jesus Christ. And accept Christ by faith, we pray. Amen.